Morning. If you have a Bible, let's see your Bible this morning. Word. Amen. Amen. Pen. That's right. Pen. Little 10-year-old reminded me about my pen. Amen. Oh, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Before I start, I have a couple of brief announcements. In a couple of 3 weeks, we're going to be wrapping up the series, depending on how many questions I get. We've been getting a lot of questions, but... And we're going to have an opportunity for you, especially you single people, to purchase a purity ring and make a written covenant to be pure. The ring is going to be anywhere $5 to $10. It's a little silver thing, and we got guy rings and girl rings. And so you can make a vow. We're going to have you sign a commitment. We're going to keep a copy. You can have a copy. And we're going to call you every now and then and see how you're doing. Amen. Amen. So anybody who's single who's ever had a conversation with me, actually you don't need to be single and don't need to have a conversation with me, you know I'll do this, but you know, if whenever I meet couples, I always ask them how they're doing. You know, how you doing? You guys sleeping together? And you know, it's kind of just a given. And just to keep everybody on the up and up, I was at the airport at 6 o'clock. Thursday morning, taking my father back to the airport, and I saw three people from the church. It was still dark out, and one of them was a couple, you know, and they're dating, and she was going out of town, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were together, and, you know, I'm thinking, okay. So they said they were coming to the series, and I said, good. I said, you guys doing good? They said, yes, we're doing good. I said, okay, just want to check, just want to check. So we're going to, you know. Hey, we, you know, whatever it is, we all got to be accountable to somebody for something. And number two, in a couple weeks, we're going to be advertising next year. Now, we've been doing a series for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Next year, we're going to do a 52-week series. And that's it's not really a series, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to read through the whole Bible. And from Genesis to Revelation. And what we're going to do as a church is we're going to, if you want to subscribe to it, there's a little book called The Daily Walk. You'll get it every month in the mail. And it'll have devotions every day for every month. There's 12 of them. It's going to be $18 for the year. It's $1.50 a month. And that includes everything. You know, getting it to you, them getting it to us. We're going to have some of our ads in it. We're going to personalize it. I'm writing a letter for it every month. And we'll have a little, it's going to be amazing. But what we're going to do as a church, we're going to start a university called Rock U. And a Rock University, but the short is just Rock U. And it's going to be on the internet. And every week, we're going to have Bible verse to memorize. We're going to memorize all the books of the Bible. We're going to know what all the books mean in one quick sentence, like Genesis, the book of beginnings. Exodus is the book of exit. You're going to learn all the books. You're going to learn them in order. You're going to learn their names, what they're about. We're going to learn Bible difficulties every week. So you're going to have 52 Bible difficulties, like where did Cain get his wife? You're going to have 52 like that. We're going to have Bible trivia. We're going to learn Bible verses. We're going to have an exam every quarter. We're going to school, okay? And then at the end of the year, we're going to have a final, okay? We're going to have a final exam, and it's going to be on the internet, and we're hoping that you could take the exam on the internet and have it timed where you have only a certain amount of time to answer a question. And it's going to be awesome. So it's just be thinking about that. And what's going to happen in the small groups is every week we're going to review this over and over and over again. And we're going to have all this information. It's going to be, it just wears me out thinking about it in a good way because I get so excited about this, because even like something like where did Cain get his wife, we're gonna have an answer for you, but on the internet it's gonna be all this information to back it up so you can research it more. And so when you're witnessing to people, they say, well, the Bible contradicts itself here, and we're gonna go over 52 contradictions, apparent contradictions, and you're gonna know why they're not contradictions, and you're gonna be able to explain it, and you'll learn as much as you want to learn. And if you find a contradiction, you can send it to us and we'll put it in there. And if you have a little difficulty you want to share. So it's going to be all next year, but we're going to have to start promoting it now because we have to have you guys subscribe to the Daily Walk so you can get it in December and start reading January through the whole Bible, and then we're going to teach you the whole Bible. Amen? Does that sound exciting? Amen. So we'll come in here, we'll say, what's the first five books of the Bible? Bam, 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 bam. You know, tell us the poetic books. Bam, bam, bam. What are the minor prophets? Bam, 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 bam. You know, what is Ezekiel about? Bam. You know, bam, bam, bam. What are the five gospels? Bam, 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 bam. And it's five. Okay, it's five gospels. Anybody know what they are? First one. Second one. Third one. Fourth one. Fifth one. Acts. The fifth one is you. Your story. Your story. Okay, that's not in the Bible, but that's the little thing we're going to throw in there, okay? So if anyone says, well, there's only four gospels, your pastor's wrong. Well, no, I have a gospel. I have a gospel. And my story is legitimate because I'm changed. Okay, let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we thank you that it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. We pray you would discern our thoughts and intents and reveal them to us. Set us free from the devil and his lies. Lord, may we have a fulfilling relationship, fulfilling sex life with our spouse, fulfilling love and intimacy with our spouse. And may you protect us from sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 2. I have a daughter who's 13. When she was 4, someone gave her the Black Ken and Barbie doll. I don't know if you ever seen little homeboy. He got a little jerry curl, you know, ripple stomach like me, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a studly old fella. He's about that, you know, 10 inches long from head to toe. And she took this doll one day. She said, Daddy, this is my man. Now, when you have a little girl as a man, you are her man. I mean, that's one of the reasons I had a little girl, because I just wanted to hug and kiss her and give her dresses and, you know, and do all that kind of stuff. So when she said that this little plastic brother was her man, it kind of hurt me. So I went into the toy box after she went to bed, and I took him out. He was down at the bottom with Barbie. I don't know what was going on with that. He said, come here, little brother. And I said, so you date my daughter, huh? I said, you got a job? And he did like this. So I said, are you a Christian? You know, read the Bible? So I took his head off. I took all his clothes off, unscrewed his arms, his legs, and put him back. All was left was his torso. So my daughter comes down, Daddy Ken is dead. He's dead. But you know, one day my daughter really is going to come home and say, Daddy, this is my man. And, you know, I can't unscrew his arms and legs. But I will think of something. We've been talking about sexual purity. We've been talking about the fact that, you know, God created a man, he created a woman, and he created them to be together. And there are rules of conducting that relationship. And in the end, you get married, you're supposed to. And then after marriage, certain things happen that can be very good. And in this story we're going to look at, and which this little passage of Adam and Eve is probably going to take us 2 weeks. I thought it was going to take one, but it's probably going to take two. And so I want to look at this because over the last 3 weeks, a lot of people have been dealing with a lot of stuff in their life. And a lot of people have come to me telling they're going to counseling and they're getting help. I don't know anything your business. Trust me, I don't want to know. But God is doing stuff in people's life. And if God is stirring you up to go get help, go get help. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. The Bible says no temptation has overtaken us except what is common. So whatever you're going through, it is common. It's common. And no matter how off the wall you think it is or the devil's telling you, it's very common. And there are people who have trained to help you. So in your bulletin, you have that yellow piece of paper and there's phone numbers on there. Please call them up. Verse 15, it says, this is the story of Adam and Eve. I believe this is a true story. I believe the Bible is true. And this happened. Verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat, you will die. Okay, here's what happened. God took a man and he made him out of dirt. Okay, so we're nothing but dirt bags, fellas. He didn't make the woman out of dirt. He made the woman out of a rib. So we're going to get to that next week. But he made us out of dirt, and he breathed the breath of life into us. Then he took the man, and he put him in paradise. Okay? And he says, if you want to be in paradise and live and enjoy paradise, you got to do two things. You got to work and keep it and tend it, and don't break the rules. That's what he told him. He didn't tell Adam you could do anything you want. He says you could do anything you want, but just don't break the rules. Don't eat from that tree and take care of everything in the garden. When it comes to a relationship, same thing applies. God's going to put you in a relationship, and he's going to say, listen, if you want this relationship to work, there's two things you got to do. You got to work. It's work. Amen? How many people in here are married? Raise your hand. Great. How many people in here are not married? Okay? All you who are not married, listen very closely, con cuidado. It is a lot of, you know what I'm saying? It means with a whole lot of carefulness. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I was in, when I used to play for the Chargers, there was a young rookie that came to the team. And he came, I think he either just got married, or no, he got married in his rookie year, and he was too young to be married. He wasn't young maturity-wise. And he was telling another player how he just got in an argument with his wife. And this other player argues with his wife all the time. And so the other player says, oh, that's being married. I have World War III with my wife all the time. And I'm standing at my locker listening to this. They're standing like, you know, 10 feet away, 20 feet away. And I'm like, what's he telling them that for? I said, come here, man. I said, don't listen to him. I said, you don't have to have World War III every week. That's not true. My wife and I, and only because we work at it, we can go a year without arguing. Now, you can have a disagreement. That's life. But you sit down, you talk about it, you lay it out, and if you disagree, you just tell her to be quiet and deal with it. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm only joking. She's coming tonight, so I won't be saying that tonight. But you could sit down, and I was telling this. I said, listen, if you work at it, you can avoid that stuff. They have since broken up. But the point is that just because you have this relationship doesn't mean it's all going to be fine, all going to be easy, and all going to be smooth. There are rules to making sure it works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Rule number one. Rule. Ephesians. Next year, you're going to be rattling these books off left and right. Does that excite you to learn that stuff? Good, 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 good. You want me to walk around? Nye, 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 nye. Verse 22. Look what it says. 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Everybody say, ugh. Okay, let me keep reading, though. And then you have to say, okay. Husband, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as Christ is, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And then look what it says right after that he may present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Fellas, rule number one is you have to be the leader in the home of humble service and love. That's your job. Your wife, you can't say to your wife, wife, submit to me. You have to say, God, teach me to love her as you love me. If you love her right, you will have no problems. If you love her right and serve her right and honor her right and pray with her and read with her and get her in the Word and be an example to her of living with Christ, you will have no problems. Now, when I say no problems, I mean, you know, not no problems, but a lot of the problems you're having now, they won't be an issue because she is going to see Christ in you. And she's going to follow your example. Let me read a verse to you, 1 Peter 3:7. Listen to very close to this. It says, husbands, matter of fact, turn there, 1 Peter 3:7. Go towards the back, 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Man, I'm so excited about next year and learning this stuff. You guys are going to be... 1 Peter 3:7. It's great when you could read this instead of just listening. Wow. First Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, the wife, with understanding. Give an honor to the wife. Everybody say honor to the wife. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Honor your wife. Honor, you are the head, she is there to support you. Honor her as that weaker vessel, and being not inferior, honor her and being heirs together of the grace of life. Your wife is an heir to eternal life, just like you. And then look what it says after that. That your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. You want your prayers to be empowered? Honor your wife. You want your prayers to be honored and not hindered? Honor your wife. I don't get it. Don't worry about getting it. Just do it. A lot of times you don't have to understand. For reals. If God says do something, you don't necessarily have to understand. Just do it. When God asked Abraham to kill his son, he told Abraham, sacrifice your only son. Do you think Abraham said, now God, I don't get it. I mean, this doesn't make sense. And God said, you're right. Do it anyway. And what did God do? I mean, Abraham took his son up, tied him down, got the knife and did this. He did this to kill his son. And God said, okay, stop. Just want to see if you were listening. That's it. That's in the Bible. And so right here he says, honor your wife, and guess what? Your prayers are going to be in. Guess what? If you honor your wife, you honor your family, and you love your wife, I promise you, your prayers will change. Your prayers will change. Okay, turn back to Genesis. You got to obey the rules. Another rule is, don't have sex before you get married. If you have sex before you get married, ladies, 60% higher chance of being divorced. If you live together, the statistics we got, only about 20% of the people who live together get married. You just blew it. You think you're going to live together, you're going to practice, see if you're compatible. Let me tell you something, animals don't do that. They just do. They just... If you live together, let me see. Women who live together with a man are twice as likely of experiencing domestic violence. God, when God tells you to do something, listen, you don't do it because, oh, I agree and I understand now. You do it by faith. You do it by faith. And you say, well, faith is blind. No, faith is not blind. Faith sees that God is faithful. That's all you need to see. And then you will see in the process more and more what he's doing. But if you don't understand, you don't say, God, I'm going to follow you when I figure it out. No, no, you follow me because I said so. So when God tells y'all not to do something or to do something, you do it because he said it. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. So he says, listen, if you follow my rules, you know, I really don't think I should live with you. Well, why not? Everyone else is doing it because I believe that God wants me to be holy. God wants me to, he wants me to even avoid an appearance of evil. God doesn't want me to put you in a position to tempt you. I had a guy and a girl say to me one day, you know, I'm going to live with my girlfriend. I'm going to sleep on the couch. What do you think? I said, it ain't going to work. Because that couch is going to get longer and longer and longer. Next thing you know, that couch is going to be right into her bedroom. Oh, no, I got willpower. Brother, there is no such thing. You and I know. Well, I can do it. No, you can't. You do what God says. You do what God says. Trust him. God honors and blesses people who obey him and trust him. No matter what you understand, no matter what you think. So when the Bible says if you break the rules, you're going to die, he's talking about your relationship. He's talking about your love. He's talking about your passion. He's talking about your future together. And I venture to say, most of us, if not all of us, been there. Especially when we were kids. I mean, think about when you were a kid and you were just all in love and you could barely remember their name. Now, maybe you do and you go, what was I thinking? You know what I'm saying? Look at the next verse. Next verse says, and the Lord said to the man, the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God made man, and man was all by himself, and man had needs. Fellas, we have needs. And we always say, well, you know, woman, I got needs. I got needs. You got to help me. You hook me up. I got needs. God knows your needs. God says, I'm gonna create a helpmeet to complete, not complete, it's a bad word, fulfill and help and partner with those needs. My son and I were standing in line at the grocery store, and when he was like 4 or 5 years old, my son has a very big head, and his forehead goes out about 9 inches from his hairline. So when he was standing next to me and looking down at him, I could see his forehead sticking out past his hair. And when little kids are around you and they're not making a lot of noise, pulling on your pants, asking for money, you know that there's something's wrong. So I'm standing there, I'm looking up, looking this way, and I notice that he's not just doing something. Now, something's wrong, too quiet. So I look down, and his forehead, I could see his forehead facing Cosmopolitan magazine. And so you know it's on the front of Cosmo. Girl, you know, always, you know, hanging out and stuff, and he's just like frozen. And I look down, and he goes, hey, Dad, look at that, and he pokes the girl right in the chest. Wow! Now, part of me's going, now, son, you're not supposed to be looking at that. And the other part of me is like, that's my boy, that's my boy. Now, listen, let me explain. Not because I want him to be into girls' chest, but because I'm glad he wasn't looking at Stallone like that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, brothers, he's got things going in the right direction here. That's really what I'm talking about. So it's a natural thing. God said, you have this need and this attraction, and guess what? I am going to create for you. Listen to what God said. I'm going to create for you a compatible helper and partner. That's what God said. I am going to hook you up with exactly what you need. Now, what the devil wants to do is he wants to create wants. And he wants to distort your needs. You know, when Jesus was in the desert, he was hungry. He hadn't eaten 40 days. And the devil says, why don't you make those stones turn to bread? Because I know you're hungry, so why don't you use your own power to satisfy your need? That's what the devil says to you. You have this urge, you have this desire. Why don't you use your own power, your own beauty, your own suave conversation, your own longing eyes? Remember we talked about that? Hey, girl, or hey, boy, do your hair up, lift the skirt up, throw the little V-neck shirt and have the stuff hanging. See, if you do that, you can satisfy that need on your own. You don't need God. That's what the devil wants you to do. But what God told Adam, he says, I am going to satisfy your need. I know your need. I created your need. I designed your need. And guess what? I'm going to design something that's going to rock your world. But you got to wait for me. You got to wait for me. Many times we think that if we get married, our perceived need will be fulfilled. In other words, you're lonely, you're depressed, but if you get married, that person's going to complete you and that loneliness will go away. No. What's going to happen is you're going to get married and you're just going to be a married person who's lonely and depressed. That's like saying, I don't have a job, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get married. So you get married, now you're just a jobless married brother. That's all that happens. So people think if I get married or if I get a date or if I get a man or a woman and she or he looks like this or whatever, then that emptiness, that incompleteness is going to be fulfilled. That is a lie. There is zero truth to that. Because that emptiness and that completeness can only come from Jesus. See, there is some needs that a mate will satisfy, you know, companionship, blah, blah, blah. But there's some things that only God can satisfy. And a lot of times we're looking at the things that we want and thinking this person is going to satisfy those needs, and it's never true. And the sad thing about it is that a depressed person Sometimes we'll get together with another depressed person, and two half-depressed people don't make one whole person. They make two depressed people. They make two depressed people, and then they have kids. Well, we have a kid that'll draw us closer together. Now you got two depressed people with a kid that's being raised by depressed people. He's all jacked up now. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to come back to Genesis, so just don't lose it. Romans 12. What's beautiful about God, and one of the most obvious ways that you can see that God has made comparable helpers, helpmeets, is how different we are. Women are pretty, men are not. Women smell good, men don't. Women are sensitive, men are not. Women are intelligent, and men are too. I want to read something to you, then I'm going to read what's in the Bible. When you get married, the pastor reads vows, and the vows that he reads are man-made. But I'm going to read them anyway, just so you can remember if you're married what you said, and if you're not married what you're getting ready to get yourself into. Okay? It says, I'll use myself. Miles, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love her and honor her, esteem her better than me, to live together after God's will, not my will, not her will, forsaking all others, whether real or imaginary. Whether real or imaginary. What does that mean? Whether it be women, whether it be magazines, whether it be videos, whether it be in your mind. Forsaking all others, keeping only onto her as long as you both shall live. Another vows, I, Miles, take you, Debbie, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold, hey, from this day forward. For better or for worse, there are worse times. There are hard times. From this day forward, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Not a fight, not some bad lasagna, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, I pledge you my love. Wear this ring as a token of my love, for with this ring I thee wed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's the commitment. Now, let's read verse chapter 12 of Romans. Chapter 12 of Romans. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Holy means to be set aside for one purpose. God wants you for one purpose, his purpose. Okay? Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. God wants you to lay your life down in him and let him renew your mind and teach you what he wants you to learn. How many people in here have a person that they are praying for to be saved? Just raise your hand. Very good. My father I prayed for 16 years. And make a long story short, he went to Promise Keepers last weekend. I flew him out here just for that, just so he can get saved. And they're doing an altar call. He's sitting next to me. And as the people are going down, I go, so you're going to get saved right now? He goes, no. Okay. Then the evangelist says, if you are sitting next to somebody, turn to them and say, I'll go with you. So I turned to him and said, I'll go with you. He goes, no. So I was grieved. I was just hurting. And I never hurt like this before because of him. But this week was, I was crying and that whole thing, I like cried 3 or 4 times because of him. And I was mad at him because he was making me cry because he wouldn't get saved. So he left Thursday, and we're walking on Wednesday. We went for a walk around Miramar Lake, and we're walking. I said, okay, when we get to this point, this tree, I'm going to ask him one more time. So we get there walking, and we got the thing and turn around. And I said, so what's up with you getting saved? I mean, where you at with that? And he goes, well, when Jesus said you must be born again, how many times did he say that? I said, one time. And I explained the whole thing to him. And let's pray for that siren. Lord, we pray for those people on the siren that they would, you give them wisdom and protect them where they're going, and to help the people that they're going to help. May no one be seriously hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said, Dad, here's the gospel. Boom, 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 boom. And he goes, okay, I'm ready to get saved right now. So I'm like, so we're out at Lake Miramar, right? So this little bench right in front of us was a little tiny bench about this big, just sitting out there all waiting for us to sit on it. So we went and sat on the bench, and we're both Discovery Channel guys, so the birds are chirping, and the ducks are, you know, ducking, and, you know, and the fish are fishing, and it was beautiful. So we prayed. He bowed his head, jumps up. What do I got to do now? What do I got to do now? So anyway, I talked to him yesterday. This was Wednesday. I talked to him yesterday, and I told him before he left, read Proverbs every day. For your information, Proverbs is a book in the Bible, and it's designed to give us wisdom. And it has 31 chapters. There's 31 days in the longest month of the year. Whatever date it is, today's the 22nd, you read chapter 22, and you get wisdom. So I told him this. So he calls me and says, I never saw this. And he read the whole, he read from 22 to the end, 30, he just kept reading. He said, it's amazing. Now, even though he's only been saved a week, he's 65 years old, he's a learned person. But my point is that God wants to transform your mind so you think like him. Doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't even matter how long you've been saved. God, you don't know what God knows. And in the context of your relationship, it says, look, lay your life down. Let me transform your mind that you may know what you should do. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Husbands, let's think for a minute. Do we ever think of ourselves more highly than we ought to in our family? Ladies, do we ever think of ourselves more highly than we ought to? This verse says don't do that. This is the vows better than the other vows. Look what it says. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Your wife has a role, the man has a role. They're both important, different. One needs the other. If you've ever heard of ball players, and a lot of times it happens with football players because they play in AstroTurf, but they'll get turf toe. And you see this big guy, this big multi-million dollar athlete, he can't play because he hurt his toe. And you're like, what a wuss. And that little toe that's in a nasty, stanky shoe that people think, oh, it's just a little toe. That little toe is like, that's right, he ain't playing because of me. Don't ever think I'm not important. Don't ever think somebody's not important. Everybody's important and critical. Look at verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't love to get something. Abhor or hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Next week we're going to talk about a man leaving his mother and father and cleaving to his wife. Watch this. When you're with your mom, you're with your mom, and then you leave your mom and dad and get married, and you cling. Watch this. You cling to your, cleave to your wife. The title of this message today is Leave It to Cleaver. Okay? So you cleave. You like that, huh? I figured you like that. Yeah. So it says here, cling in your relationship to what is good, not what is bad, not what is controlling, not the past. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. You know, I did a Bible study years ago on James, and it talked about Christians need to be kind. Just think about that. I need to be kind to you. I don't need to be rough with you. I don't need to be critical. I don't need to be rude. Be kind. It was amazing how many people said, that was so good to hear, you know, because we forget that you're supposed to be nice to people. Amen? When y'all leave here, be nice to people. Don't be walking out, you know, in the crowd, you know, you're like the little munchkins on, the Wizard of Oz. Be Be nice. Let people, go ahead. Okay? We had a guy in the parking lot a couple of weeks ago, driving down the parking lot crazy at night, and hit another car. And we don't know if he's from here or from a school. It might have been, we don't know who it was. At least I don't. But just rude. It says here, be kindly affectionate to one another. This is talking about your spouse or anybody. In honor, giving preference to one another. Fellas, honor your wife and give her preference. Do what she wants. I have my therapist. I have a little counselor lady who kind of helps me keep everything straight when I'm unstraight. She says, you need a day off to do what you want to do. I says, I want to work. So you know what I decided to do? On my day off, I do what my wife wants me to do. That's what I do, because I can't do what I want to do. What I want to do is work. So I say, I'm going to do what you want to do. So the day before my day off, I say, what do you want me to do tomorrow? And if she says nothing, whew, that's bad, because I'm going to work. But so I say, listen, I'm going to give honor to you, and I'm going to do what you want to do. Look what it says in verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Many people are real excited about the word love and real excited about being in love. You know, you meet somebody and you're in love. How could you define love? It's just, that's love. Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to talk to him. Can't wait to give him this. You know, you're in love. Oh, he gave me a rose. Oh, he thought about giving me a rose. He has no clue, but it's okay. It doesn't matter when you're in love. It's like, you just want to be in love. But that's not life. That's not marriage. Now, it's in marriage, but there's times in marriage when things go bad. There's times in marriage when you're not all, you're like, every now and then I wake up and my wife stand over me with a bat, and then she goes, oh, I'm just scratching my back, you know. Get ready to knock me out. It says in here, be patient in tribulation. Be patient continually, steadfastly in prayer. This is the commitment. Now, when you have this person that you think God has brought you to you, are they comparable to what you really want spiritually, mentally, emotionally? Can they fulfill God's command? This is a command to all Christians about all Christians, much less more the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with and be with every day. So this is the thing you have to ask yourself. Lord, send me the right person. Turn back to Genesis real quick, and we're going to end this up real quick. Look what God does. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable. Here's what God said. God said, Adam, you're lonely? He said, yeah, man, you got to help a brother out. I'm just all by myself, twiddling my fingers. He said, look, I'm gonna make something for you. It's going to be good. Sit on that rock. He's like, yeah. Brings him all to Adam. Brings him a gorilla. Ho, 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 ho. He said, nah. Kind of hairy, God. Get it out of here. Brings him every animal. You know what the Bible says? He named everyone. But here's what Adam did not do. Adam never said, that's my wife. Never. That's comparable. I like that one. Adam knew enough. He discerned enough to say, none of these are comparable to me. Now, God knew that. God wanted to get Adam to name the animals, but he also said, listen, I want you to see that none of this is for you. I'm going to make something for you now, but it ain't going to be any of this. You know what God's going to do? And he may allow people to come into your life, and you got to always test for fleas. They may be cute, okay? They may be suave. They may be dressed nice. They may have a nice car, but you got to check the fleas. See out if they live out in the woods. Are they an animal? We've been with dogs before, amen? Wolves, snakes. You got to say, Lord, is this the one? Is this the one? Only God can tell you that. But you know what? You have so much help right here. Does he love God? Does she love God? Does she honor God? Are we going to pray together? Is she going to help me fulfill God's calling on my life? That's what's important. What's on the inside, not the outside. God's going to give you something that you're going to be in love with, attracted to, passionately attracted to. He will. He's not going to be unfaithful to you. God's not like that. God is into good things. And so you got to say, Lord, yeah, he looks human. He sounds human. What are those fangs in his mouth? And they're not physical fangs. It's just not the one for you. I dread my kids getting hooked up with one of these animals. 15 years old. Well, my daughter's 14, so you know, maybe 15 years from now. But you remember that teenage heartbreak stuff where you're just a zombie and your whole world just crashes? I dread that. And what we have to do is constantly, especially you who are single, Lord Jesus, give me wisdom, give me discernment so I can let the animals keep passing. That's not a critical thing. It's just not you. That's not the one for me. Let them keep passing and wait. Imagine how long Adam was sitting there naming the animals, one after another. Not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. Every bird, all the cattle. And then God said, good, now I know. He says, Lord, why are you sending me through all this? Just so you know what to not to do. Now, be patient. You have to say, Lord, show me who you are for me. And then when you give me that person, teach me how to love them. Teach me how to nurture them. Teach me how to encourage them. Next week, we're going to talk the rest of this story, and it talks about actually marriage and sex and intimacy. We're going to talk about intimacy. We're going to talk about real intimacy versus false intimacy. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about how some married couples, even after they get married, there's disruption in the intimacy or problems in the intimacy department. We're going to talk about that because that's where, watch this, what happens. God says you have to work together. And even in conflict, when you are forced to work together, that's where you're going to change. That's where you're going to change. That's the genius of God. Because in the end, he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be like him. We're also going to have a testimony next week of a woman who runs a crisis pregnancy center right down the street from here. And she's going to give a testimony on abortion because we're going to talk about not only the shameless oneness, but we're going to talk about where God says the two become one. There was no shame. And then why did he bring them together? For a godly offspring. And how God says, listen, I'm going to get you guys to be right, and then you guys are going to bring something into it. Now, we're going to talk about that. But when we talk about what God does in a woman's body to prepare for life is unbelievable. Not just in the womb, but the whole body. And how he's preparing the woman to bring this life into the world and sustain this life. Unbelievable. And so we're going to deal with that next week. We're also going to deal with the definition of sex. I'm sorry I didn't get to it this week. We've been kind of talking about it as shameless oneness. Couple things. When you leave here, when you go home, every week we have small groups. How many people in here are in a small group somewhere? Great. How many people are not? Raise your hand up high and look around real high, real high. Hey, stretch it, stretch it, stretch it. Okay. All you people out here, here's what we do every week. We have small groups all around San Diego, as far as Oceanside. I don't know how far south. They're far, and they're in homes. They should be around 10 people. Some are bigger, and we try to split them to keep them small. And in the small groups, every week we go over the sermon and talk about it, and everybody can participate. It's not a Bible study. It's where we can talk about it, and you can talk about all the stuff we're talking about. On the internet is the lesson. If you go on the webpage and look for small group discussion, and you can go, no matter where you're at, we have guys that are going to the Persian Gulf. They're going to do this in the Persian Gulf. Two different guys, one on a boat, one on land. And you can get the questions and learn, okay, these are questions I need to ask myself pertaining to this message. When we go through the Bible next year, you're talking about in those homes going over all the stuff we're learning back and forth. And by the end of the year, you're going to have a great, thorough overview of the Bible. It's going to be very imperative for you to be a part of that. So when you leave today, go to the small group table or the rock quarry table. I believe it's in the rock pile store to the left here. And sign up and go to a small group. You can get on the internet and see all the addresses and all the directions to all the small groups. But I challenge you to go to them and get accountable to people. Okay? Coming and sitting is one part of it. But having accountability is so powerful. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for creating woman. And I know women are thankful that you created man. And I pray we can continue to be the best Christian woman and men where you want us to be. That we would honor you with every aspect of our sexual life and our relationships, that you may be pleased. Lord, teach us, transform our minds, that we may honor each other as better than ourselves, that we may put away our selfish pride, that we may experience the abundant life that you promise. In Jesus' name, amen.